Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
I'm kind of starting to get the impression that the national media doesn't really get Georgia's mood at the moment. And by Georgia, I don't mean Kirby Smart. I don't mean the Georgia players. I mean the Georgia fans here. I think there's an element of which the national media assumes that almost all Georgia fans feel one way. And in fact, that might not actually be the overall truth. Case in point on this is something that ESPN.com wrote. Edward Ashoff is the writer here, looking at the SEC programs rising and falling after spring practice. And one of the programs that was rising was the Georgia Bulldogs. But it's what Ashoff says here in particular that I think is particularly interesting. He says that getting 10 starters back on defense, that was quietly one of the SEC's best last year, was always going to be a good thing for the Bulldogs. But seeing some much-needed maturity from freshman quarterback Jacob Eason has people giddy about the Dogs. And it's that particular word that I don't necessarily agree with, because I do Dog Nation Daily every single day. I talk to Georgia fans every single day. And I don't get the impression necessarily that Georgia fans are giddy about the upcoming season, or really giddy about the overall state of the program. I think there's some legitimate concern on the part of many Georgia fans about exactly how this year is going to play out. After being just 8-5 a year ago, is it going to be much better here this season, or is it only going to be slightly better, if better at all? I think some Georgia fans are legitimately and probably rightly concerned about the current state of the recruiting class. It's been ranked as low as, 68 in the country and start to climb its way into the top 60 now, but that's still a long way away from where Georgia fans expect to be each and every year. I also think that Georgia fans have some concerns about Kirby Smart. You know, obviously, he was in his first year of being a coach last season, and there were some moments that you felt good about. You beat Auburn, a top 10 team at the time, but you also had some curious losses and some real devastating losses, and even a near loss to a team like Nicholls State. And so with this kind of feeling around the program, what you're left with is this notion that there's a restlessness, an anxiousness about seeing more recruits, about seeing more wins on the field. And what makes that feeling particularly tough this time of the year is obviously we are in the late spring heading into the summer, and really the only thing you can do this time of year is wait. As a matter of fact, it's not just waiting for the wins, but we've also been told that Georgia's going to have to wait on these recruits as well, because they themselves are also waiting on the wins here from the Georgia Bulldogs. And it's this waiting game, this wait-and-see approach that fans, that media, that recruits are having to take with the Georgia program here at the moment. But it's that particular point and that particular issue that I kind of want to start off with and deal with here off the top of the show today on Dog Nation Daily. Because while there is a waiting game going on here, waiting to see if the record in terms of wins and losses is better in 2017 and the signing class for the 2018 year ends up being commensurate with what Georgia fans expect, while there is a waiting game going on, Georgia fans might not actually have to wait all that long for some good news this summer. If you want to use the word that Edward Ashoff used at ESPN.com, I think there are a few things that could happen this summer that could actually make Georgia fans giddy. Now, a couple things involve issues with recruiting, and two of these also involve kind of issues on the field once practice begins here in a couple months. But all told, I think there are really four things in particular, at least four. There may be more than that, but at least four things here over the course of the next couple months in the summer that could actually get Georgia fans giddy. Now, let me start with this. This is the big one. The date for this is June the 27th. That's the date it's going to happen, and for a lot of you who are truly plugged in, you know exactly what I'm talking about. That's the date that Zamir White, the five-star running back from North Carolina, is set to make his announcement, his college decision. Now, it's not a given that he's going to choose Georgia. It's a tough battle between the Dogs and Ohio State and probably a couple other schools mixed in the group there. However, Zamir has visited Georgia a lot over the last couple months. He is thought by most people to be a Georgia lean. And as Jeff Sintel explained on Dog Nation Daily a couple of weeks ago, when you add him, if he does come to Georgia, with the other young running backs in this roster, that could be a pretty impressive group. Here's how Jeff said it a couple of weeks ago.
Dale McGee has the luxury of recruiting right now, where he can say for 2 years in a row to DeAndre Swift and now Zamir White, that he can say that, well, Nick Chubb and Sony Michel is going to be gone, so those first two slots on the running back depth chart will definitely be up for grabs. And I think Georgia's running back room come 2018, 2019, when Brian Herrien, who I think it never gets enough credit, DeAndre Swift, Zamir White, Elijah Holyfield, I think that four might be the best four running backs that Georgia has ever had if everybody plays up to their potential or just scratches the surface of what they can be.
So obviously the best news there is that a five-star running back might choose Georgia, and he would give Georgia, if he did, incredible depth of the running back position, as Jeff Sintel just mentioned. But I have to admit, it's also to me kind of good news that Georgia fans don't have to wait all that long to find out about that just towards the end of June, and that announcement's going to be made. That's also something that I think is pretty good news here as well, because this is a Georgia program, after all, that could use a little good news at the moment. But that's not potentially the only recruiting win that Georgia could get during the month of June. I think there's also a pretty good chance that's when Trey Dean makes his announcement. I was watching Jeff's Facebook Live last night, and the subject of Trey Dean came up once again, the safety from Dutchtown. One of these guys that is a really good player and an in-state recruit that Georgia could win in a year where those in-state wins don't necessarily look to be, you know, all that plentiful. Dean would be one of those guys. But the other thing about Trey Dean, and I know what some of you are thinking, that, you know, he was originally, I guess, supposed to make his announcement back in April, and then it kind of got moved to May, and now it seems like it's going to be more like June, and I guess South Carolina is kind of coming on strong for him. There's obviously a lot of other Georgia, you know, SEC teams and teams in the South besides Georgia competing here for Dean, but that is still one that Georgia could win and has a very good chance of winning. In addition to getting a good player when it comes to Trey Dean, you're also talking about a guy that has a bit of a gravitational pull. Now, I'm not going to tell you that he's the same kind of Pied Piper that someone like Richard LeCount would have been a year ago, but he is potentially the kind of player that could bring more players with him. And once again, the good news here is not just that Dean might choose Georgia, but Georgia fans might not have to wait all that much longer to hear a guy like that say the name UGA. It's the kind of thing, to go back to Edward Ashoff's word, that might make Georgia fans giddy this summer. But it's not just recruiting stories here, right? I mean, in a couple of months, you're also going to have this team back on the field and practicing once again. And there could be some things that happen on the practice field this summer that also kind of gets Georgia fans giddy, gets Georgia fans excited about the state of the program and the possibility for success here in 2017. And one of those things that could happen in practice is just maybe a freshman emerges as a starter along the offensive line. I mean, we know what an issue offensive line was for Georgia last season. ESPN even wrote about this the other day, that it is the biggest concern for Georgia here, even as you move into 2017. This group obviously wasn't good enough a year ago. Kirby mostly praised the work from this group during the spring, and yet we didn't exactly see that on display during G-Day. It's one of the reasons why I think most of us are hopeful that a freshman, one of that crop from the great incoming class here for 2017, could step up and become a starter, infuse that group with talent, and kind of infuse some energy into the program. Well, Jeff Sintel in the past has also talked about the most likely candidates at Georgia to do just that. Here's how Jeff explained it.
I would say on the offensive line, I would say Hayes would be my most likely newcomer. But then I would probably drop a guy like Natori and Andrew Thomas at like 2 and 3. But there's not a lot of separation. Justin Schaefer is really good. He's continuing to swim down. He's continuing to lose weight. He wants to be 320 by the time he arrives in Athens. And if that young man can do that, he's got great feet, a great, great work ethic. Justin Schaefer at 320 pounds, 325 pounds would be dangerous. I think he would play right away at Georgia as well. And then I would put Isaiah Wilson.
So that's the group that Jeff thinks has a chance to do that. And speaking of Natori Johnson, one of the names that he mentioned, Natori has said that when he comes to Georgia, winning a starting spot, taking one of those spots, is exactly what he expects to do.
What's going to be your mindset? What are you going to do immediately to try to get noticed, to get on the field and make an impact?
Take whoever is right there in my spot. I'm going to beat that guy out. Whoever, how many guys, I don't know how many guys, I think it's two guys I got to beat out right now. I'm most definitely going to take that position, that right guard, left guard position, and show that Sony Michel and Nick Chubb that what we're gonna do with the freshman.
Now, it's not just himself that Natori Johnson's bragging on. He's also bragging on his other fellow incoming freshman offensive lineman, because he believes that he, along with the rest of those guys, can change the program, and they know they've got a responsibility in some form or fashion to do just that. Here's how he said that on a Dog Nation broadcast back during the winter.
We know we got a lot on our back. Sam Pittman, our coach, definitely has a lot on his back also for us to be coming in and changing the program. We know for a fact that we're going to come in to change the program and definitely run the ball a lot.
Yeah, when you hear that applause there, that's one of the reasons why that's one of those important storylines of this summer. If a freshman comes in and does exactly what Natori Johnson's talking about right there, that is going to infuse a lot of energy into the program. But that's not the only position group where I think Georgia fans would look forward to seeing a freshman starter particularly emerge. I think that's also true in the secondary as well. The most likely name to probably do that is D'Angelo Gibbs. He's in the mix for starting at that star position. And if Gibbs truly does step up and win that nickelback starting spot here this spring, or I should say this summer, that's also something that Georgia fans would get really excited about. And to overuse the word that Edward Ashoff used, maybe giddy's not too strong of a word to use if Gibbs really isn't in a position for that kind of playing time. Let's go back to the spring when Kirby Smart kind of laid out his evaluation of Gibbs and kind of the thought process about, is he the right guy for that star position? Here's how Kirby explained it.
I think that's a really important spot in your defense because it's like an anchor. You know, Mo was just kind of like steady. He didn't play much anywhere else because he just played there. So we're trying to develop and figure out who those people are. The way we're practicing, you know, Tyreek is really our star, but he's on a split field when we split him up. So he practices at corner and he practices at star. So he's taking reps at both places because if we lost a corner right now, Tyreek might be the first corner in the game. But he is our star if we play today. Now, D'Angelo and Richard LeCount, especially D'Angelo, has a body more like Mo. I mean, you're out there playing on Charlie Warner, and he comes to block you. You know, do you want a 160-pound guy or do you want a 205-pound guy? It's pretty obvious that we got to have a big guy. So D'Angelo is a guy that we know has the ability. Can he sustain? Can he learn? Can he do all the things he's got to do? There's an argument to say that guy takes every rep at that position, and that becomes his home base, and he becomes like Mo. But we're not ready to commit all that to him because we think he's a good football player that might be able to play other positions. So the battle continues. Tyreek, Richard LeCount, D'Angelo Gibbs, and we think in those scrimmages it'll reveal itself who the guy is.
Look, here's the bottom line for me. The Georgia fans may not overall be quite as excited about the state of the future of this program as maybe some of the national media currently think they are, but if a guy like D'Angelo Gibbs does emerge as a starter, if one of those freshmen steps up along the offensive line, if Georgia wins a couple of those recruiting battles for guys like Trey Dean, Zamir White, then at that point in time, giddy wouldn't be too strong of a word to use. And the good news for Georgia fans is they may not have to wait too long for some of those positive headlines. We may some of that play out as soon as this summer. My name's Brandon Adams. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Glad to have you with us on the show here. Invite you to check out DogNation.com as well, because at the banner at the very top of the page right now, don't forget, we are doing our Dog Nation Invasion giveaway to South Bend, courtesy of Kroger. Want you to check this out. You've still got now between now, 11:59 p.m. on Friday, May the 19th, to get signed up for this thing for your chance to win. It's not just a spot on the Dog Nation Invasion bus, but it's also a chance to win lodging and airfare, two tickets to the big game there in South Bend this September. It's all there for you. Your chance to win at DogNation.com, of course, courtesy of Kroger. And speaking of Kroger, when you think about Kroger, make sure you also remember that coming up this Sunday is Mother's Day. Now, if you're like me, you're probably still scrambling to get all your Mother's Day stuff taken care of, but Kroger is the place to think about that. If you're cooking that meal, of course, that food's there for you at Kroger. Those fresh flowers, Kroger's got those for you as well. Decorations, the plates, the napkins, really anything that you need, Kroger's got it for you. To find out more about what they can provide, not just for your Mother's Day, but all the big events you've got going on this spring, check them out online at Kroger.com. And of course, we appreciate Kroger bringing the Dog Nation Invasion giveaway to South Bend. They are sponsoring that giveaway. We certainly appreciate them doing that. We're going to get Mike Johnson coming up here in just a moment, the former Alabama All-American and SEC Country Live analyst. He's going to be with us here today. Mike's been a big defender of Kirby Smart, and he thinks that the Georgia Bulldogs going to win the SEC East here this season. So I know you'll enjoy Mike Johnson here on Dog Nation Daily. Glad to have you with us in the program, and hope you enjoy the rest of the show. And I will say hello here to my partner. I work with him each and every day on SEC Country Live. You can catch us out at 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the SEC Country Facebook page each and every day. And, Mike, first of all, let me say welcome back here to Dog Nation Daily. Thank you so much for being on the program today. How you doing today?
I'm doing good, man. Are we still talking about sharks today and shark photos?
Listen,
or are we moving on to SEC football?
No, you know how I feel about this. That shark conversation about the person that looks like Jim McElwain, that Jim McElwain vehemently denies wasn't him, I want to try to find a way to bring that thing back in the news each and every day, if at all possible. That's my goal here, is to find a way, what is it the journalists say all the time, to advance the story? I want to find a way to advance the story, if at all possible. Find a way to ask him a new question about this. Just sort of force him to stay talking about this is my idea.
I can tell you right now that Jim McElwain is not going to be happy if this story advances any further.
Well, we talked about this yesterday on the show a little bit. Wasn't he too serious about this? I mean, shouldn't you have a little more fun with this? I know he's being ribbed about this behind his back. And for the people who don't know what we're talking about, we're not going to show the photo to you here on Facebook, even though we probably could. We're just sort of more of a family-friendly operation. But it's the photo of someone laying on top of a shark with no clothes on, and the face looks eerily similar to Jim McElwain, so much so that McElwain had to talk about it. Well, McElwain didn't want to joke about it at all, but cracking a smile and kind of making light of this, doesn't that kind of make it go away a little faster in some respects?
Well, I think he's tried that. I think, you know, the first couple of times it seems like he's been asked, he tried it. But, you know, we don't have the full – I don't think we saw everything that was going on in this latest video. You know, you see a 10-second clip and he doesn't seem to be very happy about it. But, you know, shockingly, the reporter that asked him the question didn't seem to be joking about it either. So, I mean, I think if you come at him in a joking manner, he'll probably come back at you in a joking manner. But I'm sure he's ready for it to go away. And you know, he's like, hey, listen, it's not me, and I don't even want that attached to my name.
Yeah, I thought about this, you know, because, like, I've not ever been really a reporter for a living, but I have been someone who, you know, asks questions, you know, to guys like this before. And I thought about, what's the question I would have wanted to ask? And I guess the question I probably would have wanted to ask is, did you think the person looked like you? Because that's really the crux of the issue. I mean, this is a justifiable topic of discussion if it does truly look like Jim McElwain. And I think it does. Now, I don't think it is McElwain, but it obviously looks like him. So if I could have asked McElwain a question, that's the question I would have asked. Have you seen the picture, and do you think it looks like you? Because he can't lie and say it doesn't, because I think it just sort of obviously does.
No, it does, really. It does favor him for sure. I think the question I probably would have asked him had I been put in the same room with him is just, what do you think about this photo? What do you think is going through this guy's mind? If it's not you, how can you explain what's going on in this picture? I think, you know, it's just, we talked about it yesterday on the show. There's no reason. There's no reason for anything in that photo to be going on, so I'd love to get some more background on it.
Yeah, that's a very good point. All right, speaking of something we talked about on yesterday's show, SEC Country Live, which, by the way, you can check out on the SEC Country Facebook page, 3 p.m. Eastern time, myself and Mike Johnson, the former Alabama All-American. We do that show every day. Of course, Mike's with us here on Dog Nation Daily right now. But we talked about the evaluation of Kirby Smart and kind of what some of the national media are saying about Smart after his first season. And, you know, yesterday I had Chris Doering here on Dog Nation Daily. He said too soon to make that evaluation, too soon to judge him harshly, certainly, after a first year. And based on our conversation yesterday, it sounds like you kind of agree with that point as well.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and we talked about where the other coaches were ranked at. And it just seems like we're giving everybody the benefit of the doubt for even having a little bit of history and really docking Kirby Smart for not having much of a history, even though the short history he has had at Georgia was kind of so-so. I mean, we're talking about guys like Ed Orgeron, who was a failed coach at Ole Miss, and he went 10-21 there, moves on. He's an interim coach a couple times. Now that we have him at LSU, he's ranked ahead of Kirby Smart. We have a guy like Muschamp, fired from Florida, has a so-so season at, you know, South Carolina. He's ahead of Kirby Smart. Even a guy like Dan Mullen. I mean, we're talking about a guy whose football team lost to, you know, South Alabama last year. You know, obviously he's done good things at Mississippi State, but we're giving all these guys benefit of the doubt. And I think Kirby Smart having, you know, a decent season there in year one with a true freshman quarterback at the helm for the Georgia Bulldogs, I think we have to give him a little bit more respect. And falling that far back in the pack in terms of coaching rankings just didn't do him any justice. I feel like this year is going to show a lot about his ability. Obviously, I'm a Kirby Smart fan as well as a Jim McElwain fan, having worked with those guys in the past. But Kirby's got great coaching ability, and it's just going to shine even more as we move forward.
So I guess the obvious sort of question to ask in terms of a devil's advocate position, because I'm like you, I'm also a Kirby Smart supporter, and I think he's going to have a very good career at Georgia. But for the people who are kind of a little restless here this offseason, the point they're going to bring up is, hey, you know, Georgia in no year should be losing to Vanderbilt. And Georgia really in very few years should ever lose to Georgia Tech. And, you know, getting blown out by an Ole Miss team that didn't even make a bowl game. I mean, some of those games are dings on Smart's resume, right, even though they came during his first season. Is that fair to say?
Oh, there's no question about it. And I think if you talk to Kirby Smart, really what he wants is more consistency. I think the ups were really good last year and the downs were really bad. But I think that's what you have around a lot of SEC coaching circles right now. You just don't have a lot of those big names and guys that have kind of manufactured an ability to get the most out of their players week in and week out. You know, you see the ups now, especially in the SEC East. Where a team that can really come out and slug the good schools in the face, and they turn around and lose to a school like Missouri or a school to Vanderbilt. So definitely more consistency here in year two for Kirby. I think that, you know, he's probably looked himself in the mirror, knowing Kirby, and has probably worked on his clock management. He's probably worked on being more of a CEO type instead of focusing on the defense. But listen, his first head coaching job, and, you know, he's learning on the job. So I think he's in a good position. Obviously, we've talked about it almost ad nauseum this offseason, where he's got a lot of the talent in the right places. And I just think he continues to grow and continues to show that he's a great head coach, and looking forward to him moving up in that list in the near future.
So one of the things we talked about before you came on the show today was the possibility that a freshman would start on Georgia's offensive line. I think that's something that most fans want. I think it's probably something that I want for Georgia as well. I just think that the group that's coming in, if even a couple of those guys play up to the level that they're capable of playing in, it gives Georgia an upgrade at the position, but also potentially kind of infuses the program with a little bit of energy. I mean, as a guy who played the offensive line at a very high level at the NFL and was an All-American in college, I mean, what would your thought be if you're a veteran and you look over either to your left and your right and you see a true freshman lining up? We saw Alabama do that last year. We saw Florida do that last year. Ole Miss did that last year. Are you okay with a true freshman starting on an offensive line position in the SEC?
I am, but they have to be an incredible talent. And I think all the ones that I've seen be able to do it have been incredible talents. My question is this, you know, for Kirby Smart and Jim Chaney moving forward, does starting a true freshman give them the consistency that they're looking for? And we just talked about it. When you talk about those games week in and week out where you have the high ups and the low downs, that's what you get when you start young players. You know, that's what you get. You get players that go into these big hyped-up games and can play well. But some of the Saturdays where, you know, you may be not on TV or not in a primetime spot and all of a sudden you have to wake up early, 18-year-olds don't adjust to that as well. And not to be saying it can't be done, but, you know, if you have a guy going into a Saturday that it's making a great block on one running play and springing a great run for Nick Chubb, but maybe the next play he whiffs on a block and gets Jacob Eason sacked in the backfield. So that's what you get a lot of times with freshmen. They don't know the ins and outs and the nuances of the offense and the college game. So I just think Kirby Smart needs to be careful. You know, you love to look at it and say, man, this energizes the fan base. We had a good recruiting class. Or moving forward on the offensive line, you just don't need the ups and downs that you probably have had in the past. You know, looking at last season, I think you'll get that moving forward if you have to start a younger offensive line.
When we do SEC Country Live every day, one of my favorite parts about the show, and I think you're probably going to say the same thing here, is that it's that chance to interact with other SEC fans to kind of find out what they're saying in the comment section, much like I do Dog Nation Daily Live here on Facebook Live, and I get to see in real time how people react to any subject we might be discussing. We get to do the same thing there on SEC Country Live. And so I'm curious how you would evaluate the mood of Georgia fans right now based on what we're seeing every day on SEC Country Live. I would suggest that they're maybe not quite as excited about this upcoming season as maybe some of the national media might suggest or might think. I think this is a Georgia fan base that's a little skeptical at the moment, maybe a little anxious and nervous about this upcoming season, both with the results on the field and with the recruiting class that'll follow because of that. I mean, how would you judge the mood of the Georgia fans you've kind of been in contact with here recently?
I think it's a quiet confidence. I really think, you know, the Georgia fans recently have been spurned in so many different ways, and you can touch on it too. But, you know, I remember a few years ago going down to that game in Athens when Bama played down there, the really rainy game. And, you know, Georgia was actually favored by a point when that line opened that week and just really got gut punched. And I remember talking to some of my Georgia friends that, you know, that was one of the most distraught atmospheres that I'd ever been around, where really the fan base was so upbeat coming into it, a huge football game on home turf, and just a huge letdown. So I think that a lot of fans are guarded around that right now. You want to be excited about the new regime. You want to be excited about Nick Chubb being back to full strength and Jacob Eason moving into year two. But it's a quiet confidence because, you know, you don't want to put yourself out there, you know, just yet. So definitely something building there in Athens, though. And, I'm excited about it for Georgia fans. I think the SEC as a whole is better when Georgia is at or near the top on that SEC East. And I'm excited for Kirby Smart. So just being in and around Atlanta and the state of Georgia, SEC is definitely better off when Georgia's on an upswing.
But I think you're bringing up a good point. Hey, I know the Georgia fans are going to like to hear what you just said there, but the point you bring up is also a good one. Because of the Alabama game in 2015 and maybe some other games in recent years in which kind of felt like the Alabama game, maybe there is a tendency for a lot of Georgia fans to let the big win happen, let the good season happen, and then get excited about it after the fact, as opposed to going into a season on kind of an anticipatory high. You know, maybe Georgia fans don't really feel like they have the luxury of doing that, given how some of this kind of stuff has kind of sort of turned out in the past. You may be kind of right about that, Mike.
Yeah, I think last year, even if you look across that division over there at Tennessee, I mean, a lot of chest thumping at Tennessee last year, and I think that Georgia fans may take that as a cautionary tale, that, you know what, you might have all the right pieces in the right place, but until it comes to fruition, you really have to be guarded. So, like I said, a quiet optimism surrounding that program right now. And listen, I'm not quiet about it at all. I really do feel like they have a good team in place and can definitely grab the bull by the horns in the East, which we haven't seen a team do in a long time in the SEC East. I mean, even moving back the last couple of years, Florida just doesn't seem to be that way. So Georgia definitely building. I like what they have going on. I like that young receiving core. That seems to be one of the question marks, I think, going into the season. That, you know, they're going to build around that. So a lot of good things going on there.
All right, so I got to ask you this as we let you go. You know, you were in Talladega last weekend. You're, you know, enjoying the RV tailgating world. I mean, I think that's called glamping. You were glamping last week, glamorous camping. I think you were glamping in Talladega. You were at opening day in St. Louis for the Cubs. You're traveling every weekend. I mean, what does a guy like you have going on for this Mother's Day weekend? Will you take your mom on like a Mediterranean cruise? I mean, what do you have going on this weekend?
I'm actually not going to get to see my mom this weekend. I'm actually going home next weekend for a Hangout Music Fest. But tonight,
so I'm telling you, it's some kind of like big time event for you every single weekend. It's quite a life you live, sir.
Well, I was going to say tonight I'm going to a Kings of Leon concert down at the Lakewood Amphitheater down there in Atlanta, and we're excited about that. I think maybe this weekend is just going to be a relaxing weekend. We're moving coming up, so we're going to be boxing up some stuff at my place and trying to get ready for that. So kind of a quiet weekend, Mother's Day, but I'll catch up with her next weekend.
Well, I'll catch up with you 3 p.m. today, Monday through Thursday. We do SEC Country Live on the SEC Country Facebook page. Mike, it's always a ton of fun. It's always also great to have you with us here on Dog Nation Daily. We appreciate your time, and we'll look forward to seeing you this afternoon.
All right, brother. I'll see you in a little bit.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
All right, good stuff there from Mike Johnson. Glad to have him with us here on Dog Nation Daily. And, of course, looking forward to SEC Country Live coming up today, 3 p.m. Eastern time. That's every Monday through Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern time on the SEC Country Facebook page. Hope you'll check that out. I told you earlier in the show to make sure you're thinking about the Dog Nation Invasion to South Bend. Of course, one of our Dog Nation Invasion to South Bend sponsors is Larceny Bourbon. And by now you know that Larceny Bourbon's a 92-proof weeded small-batch bourbon made from 200 barrels or less that are hand-selected by their master distillers from the finest barrels in the rickhouse. Unlock the smoothness today at LarcenyBourbon.com. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. Okay, we're going to transition over here to our SEC through. We'll talk about some of the big news happening around the SEC here for a moment. And let me start with this. Saw where former Tennessee coach Philip Fulmer is talking about current Tennessee coach Butch Jones. And I guess we'll play some of the audio for you today on SEC Country Live and what Fulmer had to say. But he goes on a sports radio show up in Knoxville. It's Josh Ward, Will West team up together. Josh Ward actually also does our Tennessee podcast for SECCountry.com. And Josh has been a frequent guest here on Dog Nation Daily. So some of y'all may know him because of that. But Fulmer goes on that show and kind of gives a pretty impassioned defense of Butch Jones about what a tough situation he took over there in Knoxville. Talking about the Derek Dooley era and how bad that was. Lane Kiffin's 1 year on the job there. And, you know, the one thing I've always said is that, you know, those multi-year assistants that came in with Kiffin, ended up doing a lot of damage to Tennessee, because when Kiffin left, no other head coach kind of wanted to come in and work with the staff that he wasn't able to pick, and that did do incredible damage. And then obviously Fulmer also references the end of his own tenure there, some of the turmoil and upheaval in terms of the administration, but it ends up being a defense of Butch Jones that, hey, Butch Jones had a mess that he inherited, and he's kind of working his way through it. And the thing I can't help but think about that is, how about Philip Fulmer, who has every right to feel wronged by Tennessee on a couple fronts, did not, got kicked out of the head coaching job, and maybe he thought he was supposed to stay around, and then got passed over for the athletic director job after it was sort of became public that he wanted the job. And yet he's still defending Butch Jones here. This is an incredible gift from Fulmer to Jones at Tennessee, and if you're Butch Jones, I think you have to wonder, are you going to be worthy of the defense that Philip Fulmer's given you here? Because, you know, unfortunately for Butch Jones, what seems to be happening here is, over and over again, his performance as a coach seems to make you feel a little bit better about what Philip Fulmer was bringing to the table. Now, what Fulmer says about Jones is that now he's got that sort of recruiting soil that he can kind of, you know, till and mine, and he's going to be fine because of that. But part of that includes the state of Georgia. And in terms of getting, you know, top-flight players from Georgia, now maybe Nigel Warrior's going to have a really good year for Tennessee this year, but for the most part, I would say that Jones probably hasn't been as good coming into Georgia and getting players as Philip Fulmer was. When you think about Deion Grant and Cozy Coleman and Jamal Lewis that really aided that national championship in 1998, you haven't had quite as many game-changing players in the state of Georgia up at Tennessee. You've had some, but not enough to build a championship team. A lot of those guys have ended up at Clemson here in recent years. And some of those even in-state products from the state of Tennessee have ended up at Clemson. I'm not sure Butch Jones is as good a coach as Philip Fulmer thinks that he is, but we'll see how that plays out. Thought it was interesting. Alex Shirky had this piece up at SECCountry.com that Mississippi State quarterback Nick Fitzgerald was talking about how much he, quote, hates defensive coordinator Todd Grantham. And this is one of those moments where this word's actually a compliment. He's talking about how tough it is to kind of go and do battle against Grantham's defense during practice each and every day. They had a chance to kind of do that during the spring. And obviously it's all happy talk for Grantham here at Mississippi State. I do kind of find it interesting, though, that Grantham is kind of one of these guys that he makes programs happy when he comes in, but he probably seems to make them a little happier once he finally leaves. I mean, yeah, he never got fired from Georgia. He technically left and got a raise to go to Louisville. But was there any Georgia fan, any collection of Georgia fans that thought that Georgia would have been better off if Grantham had have stayed? And, you know, how many Louisville fans do you really see crying about Grantham no longer being on that job? Maybe he wasn't, you know, quite as good a defensive coordinator if he wasn't getting playbooks leaked to him by the Wake Forest color commentator. You know, I think at Mississippi State it'll probably work out very much the same way where, hey, you know, he may be dialing up something at practice right now that Nick Fitzgerald's confused by, and Fitzgerald may be talking about the media. Before it's all said and done, though, I imagine it'll kind of settle into something a little more like what we've come to expect from Todd Grantham, which is a lot of bluster and maybe not a whole lot of results. We'll make that your SEC through. All right, can I do something here that I missed earlier in the show? Jim, do you mind if we do the Gator Hater Countdown here? Remind folks that there are 169 days between now and the world's largest outdoor cocktail party coming up this October between the Georgia Bulldogs and the Florida Gators. And I want to remind you both, whether I said at the beginning of the show or here in this portion of the show, that if you're like us, and here on Dog Nation Daily, we absolutely believe this to be true, that a good Georgia fan is a Gator Hater first and foremost. More so than hating anybody else, Georgia fans are supposed to hate the Florida Gators. If you believe that, the best way you can show that, I think anyway, is to check out ShopDogNation.com and get your very own Shop Dog Nation, Dog Nation Daily Gator Hater t-shirts. Now at ShopDogNation.com, we're going to give you free shipping on this, and you also can have your choice of any size. We've got all the sizes in stock. I think we're even working to get some more triple X's in there, the 3XLs, if that's what you need. We're getting some more of those in there right now for you as well. It's got the Dog Nation Daily logo on the sleeve, the Gator Hater license plate insignia on the front. You can check that out, and you can let everybody know a couple things. A, that Georgia fans hate the Florida Gators, and B, that we think Georgia's going to beat Florida in Jacksonville this October. We're looking forward to being there to see that happen and looking forward to celebrating that one with you 169 days from now, the Gator Hater Countdown. All right, as we get ready to wrap up the show here today, first of all, thanks so much for being with us. I thought that Aaron Torres over at FoxSports.com had kind of an interesting list, and this points out something that we've talked about here on the show really quite a lot. That is that there is this amazing disparity right now in terms of people who think Georgia has a tough schedule for 2017 and people who think Georgia has an easy schedule in 2017. And what Torres says is, is that Georgia has a schedule so easy that it might be a springboard for a college football playoff run. I may talk about this more in depth later on in the week, but that's the general headline that Torres kind of brings to the table there, which is exactly the opposite of what Mark Schlabaugh said the other day at ESPN.com, that Georgia's road games at Notre Dame, at Auburn, at Tennessee would prevent Georgia from even competing in the SEC. It is an interesting contrast we get here between some people who look at the same data and come up with a very different opinion. We'll try to sort it out over the course of the next few weeks and see you tomorrow right here on Dog Nation Daily.